This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
In the world of jazz, it's not every day that a new band comes along, especially a band that includes a player like Joshua Redman. But the great saxophone player has teamed up with pianist Aaron Parks. And along with bass player Matt Penman and drummer Eric Harland, they call themselves James Farm. James Farm embraces a mix of influences from rock, soul, blues, even electronica. But at its heart, the band is steeped in the traditions of jazz improvisation. James Farm released its first self-titled album earlier this year and will play at the Berklee Performance Center on Friday as part of the Beantown Jazz Festival. We're listening to Starcrossed, a composition by Joshua Redman, who came in yesterday with bassist Matt Penman to talk about James Farm. That's such a beautiful composition, Starcrossed. Joshua Redman, why don't you tell me a little bit about it? It's gospel-inspired. It's certainly beautiful.
I mean, certainly stylistically, I guess you could say it has some gospel flavorings. And I wrote the song with this band in mind, really hearing Aaron and Matt and Eric playing it. You know, it's kind of a melancholy, bluesy ballad. A few of the themes in the song come from a song that I wrote a long time ago. And I wrote it with these guys in mind, and I knew that they were going to interpret it beautifully and bring it to life and bring a great energy to it.
Matt Penman, let me ask you about that song. What does it do for you? What does it say to you? How does it speak to you?
This song, I always thought of having a really amazing yearning quality to it, like a kind of a maybe lovers separated by distance or like time. That's what's always going through my mind when I play this tune or listen to it. It's a real a longing, kind of a bluesy, definitely a romantic quality to it.
You guys have played together over the years in various combinations, but can you tell me how James Farm came together? Joshua Redman, let me start with you.
There was a lot of musical history and familiarity with this band before we got together, but the four of us had never played together before, and I guess specifically Aaron Parks and I had never played together before.
Aaron Parks is the pianist.
Yes. I guess what kind of got everything started was I had bought Aaron's last record, Invisible Cinema. And I was totally blown away by the record, just his compositional conception and the band sound, the sound of Aaron and Matt and Eric playing together. So I got in touch with him and I said, hey, I'd love to do something with you. Let's try to put something together. Things came together pretty fast.
And the name, the first letters of each of your first names, Joshua Redman, Aaron Parks, Matt Penman, Eric Harland, so that spells Jame. And so from that came James Farm. Is that right?
I think if you asked each of us, we'd get, you know, what the name means, we'd give you a different answer.
Well, what does it mean to you?
It just means it's the name of the band. That's all it means.
Okay.
Honestly.
And what about you, Matt Penman? Does it have a meaning for you?
As Josh was saying, you'll get a different answer every person that you ask in the band and possibly every day.
Yeah.
Today, I'm thinking, that I would, like to have a farm, but I don't have a farm because I live in Brooklyn. So, this is our kind of way of organically growing things, putting them in the proverbial earth. I've never answered like that before, and I probably won't again. But
Well, it's a good answer, and we're happy to take that to the bank today. Let's listen to another piece off of James Farm. This is Kronos, a composition by pianist Aaron Parks. You mentioned Aaron Parks, so I wanted to play this and talk a little bit about it. Let's listen. So, gentlemen, I love that. It's beautiful. I wish we had more time to play more of it. It's such a mix of sound. I love Aaron Park's piano in that, and there's almost a Middle Eastern flavor that comes through when you're playing Joshua.
I think that comes from the melody. It's a very evocative and very, very exotic melody in certain ways, but also very simple and very elemental. Mm. This song, for me, is kind of the centerpiece of the album, in part because I feel like it captures so many different things that this band does and that I think this band does well. It's a strong groove, a groove that's actually, for me, was very, very difficult to tap into and be comfortable with, because there's a lot of different layers of rhythm happening and working together, but also working against each other.
One of the things that strikes me about James Farm is this, and that is, so often when we listen to more traditional jazz, you're aware of the soloist out front, and the rhythm section is there in the background, and with the exception of occasional solos, a drum solo, a bass solo, it's almost like they're there to support the person who's out front. But this has such a cohesive sound of all you guys playing together, really together. It's very exciting.
Yeah, well, this is something that I think we're all naturally very interested in, is the big conversation. That's one of our major approaches to improvisation, is everyone is still taking a role. Like most of the time we will have one soloist out in front, but the way that everyone interacts is feeding the collective improvisation. So it's almost like you often have one leading voice, but you have a lot of other voices murmuring in the background. You know, we all are very interested in just a big conversation.
You mentioned a big conversation. Joshua, I'm thinking of the great jazz groups of the 60s. They seem to embrace that idea. I'm thinking of Coltrane's group, Miles Davis, Ornette Coleman, people like that.
You know, you could argue that since at least the 60s, many of the greatest statements in modern jazz have been made by groups rather than by individuals. And that's not to say there haven't been great individual soloists. I mean, Coltrane is one of the greatest individual soloists, of all time. But to me, what made Coltrane's music so incredible was the sound of that band and that group and the particular personality they had, the empathy and the chemistry that they had as a band. So in that sense, we're no different. We are simpatico in a lot of ways, and there is a great chemistry, and there is a very, very, very special and very fluid conversation that happens with this band.
Let me ask you, too, about the mix of influences on this album. And I hear rock, soul, folk, electronica. I mean, at its heart, it's jazz, but it has all those influences. And I wanted to play another cut. This one is Bijou. This is another Aaron Parks composition, and it has a sort of pop sound to it. So very, very, very pretty, but kind of it's got a real pretty, almost sort of pop melody there, kind of informing it. Do you listen to a lot of pop music out there or hip hop that guides you?
I think all that stuff that you mentioned, that's all genres that we listen to a lot, you know, and that we all grew up listening to, whether consciously or unconsciously, it comes out in our writing and in the direction that we want to take it. For example, that tune Bijou, you know, I mean, Aaron, he listens to a lot of singer-songwriter music and a lot of vocal music and a lot of stuff that some people might say, you know, is almost like Americana kind of music, as do a bunch of us.
I think it has the effect of almost making your jazz more accessible.
That's a dirty word, Anthony.
Oh, I'm really sorry.
No, that's, no, that's fine. Accessible is accessible is fine. Yeah, we don't mind if it's accessible. You know, we're not trying to. We're definitely not trying to make it inaccessible. Yeah.
Many of our influences come from deep within the heart and soul of jazz, but we also are influenced by all different kinds of music outside of jazz, and it's natural for us and very, very jazz-like for us to bring all those influences to bear in what we do.
Let me ask you about one other influence. We mentioned those great jazz groups of the 60s. Do you find yourself going back and listening to even older, more traditional jazz players, and do they still speak to you? Folks like Louis Armstrong from that era, for example.
Yeah, I mean, that was just great music. I don't really think about whether it's modern or anything, because actually it is. It's really
right. Hip.
This is what struck me. I was listening to Louis Armstrong the other day, and it sounded so contemporary.
It's so vital.
It's so vital. So it didn't sound old-fashioned or old at all. It seemed to be every bit as modern as it must have sounded.
Absolutely. I mean, if I listen to Louis Armstrong, and I do, those old Hot 5 and Hot 7 recordings, I mean, his rhythmic conception and his phrasing, you can't get more modern than that. I mean, it still sounds ahead of its time to me.
Before I say goodbye, why don't we go out on something by Matt Penman? We haven't heard anything yet. Do you want to suggest something?
Yeah. Which one?
Maybe 1981.
1981. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, play 1981.
This is just something that I wrote, basically thinking about some pop music around 1981, inspired by the band The Police, but mostly inspired by my bandmates.
That's Matt Penman and Joshua Redman of the band James Farm, which has a new CD of the same name. James Farm is performing this Friday at the Berklee Performance Center as part of the Beantown Jazz Festival. There's more information on our website, radioboston.org.